Hey, I want to talk to us today on two words called pride and rebellion. How many of you have heard those things? Pride and rebellion. I want to talk to you about these two sins. Now, pride in the sense of taking pride in yourself, not wearing PJs to pajamas, that's not what I'm talking about. How many of you go to Walmart? See that giddy up? And you think, number one, your size really don't fit in those. You hurting the fabric, they're screaming. Come on, somebody. You look like a mess. When's the last time you did your hair up, did your nails, and put on something bathed? Amen? I'm just painting a picture here for you. I'm not talking about that kind of pride, that taking care of yourself and dressing nice. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a pride that is sinful. I'm talking about a pride that reaches far beyond that, okay? And rebellion. They go hand in hand, by the way, pride and rebellion. So I want to start with saying, well, what is pride? Well, if you look this up in the dictionary, old Webster's dictionary, it says an exaggerated self-esteem. You know anybody that's got an exaggerated self-esteem? Everybody in this room knows somebody. It's got an exaggerated self-esteem. I can tell you how you can pick out one pretty quick. It's all about them. I, me. Amen. It's an exaggeration of themselves. So pride is an exaggerated self-esteem. And rebellion is, watch this, is in opposition to one in authority or dominance. People that are in rebellion, they're in opposition to anything they don't want to happen in their life, that they don't want going on, that they don't, it's not necessarily they don't agree with it. They may think it's right, they just don't like it. That's why Satan is in such rebellion against God and his principles. It's not that God's principles aren't right, he just don't like them. Come on, somebody, I'm going to preach in a minute. And so pride leads to rebellion, and rebellion leads to sin, and sin leads to separation from God. And they just stack right on top of each other. It's really simple. So I want to give you some scripture on pride and rebellion and where it came from, and is it still alive today? Absolutely. Absolutely it is. Pride happens when you don't think you need anyone or any help. That's the first step of pride. Well, I don't need any help. I can do this. That's the first indicator that you're dealing with pride. I can do this by myself. I don't need you anyway. You can be them. Amen. And rebellion happens when you try to do it without God. Amen. Do you understand that there's nothing you can do without God? You can't even breathe without God. You understand that, right? I heard one preacher say, you can't even catch your next breath in a fast car without God. There's nothing you can, you don't wake up in the morning without God. You may think you don't need God. Every atheist thinks there's no God. But if there wasn't one, you wouldn't be alive. You need God for everything. You need God for your body to keep functioning. Because when he says cut it off, it'll stop. Amen? So you need God for everything. But rebellion comes when I don't need God. It usually starts at a smaller level. I don't need people, and I sure don't need the church. Sure don't need the preacher telling me what to do, how to live. Who is he? He's probably got problems. Amen. Got a bunch of them. Amen. So in Ezekiel 28, I'm going to talk about where pride and rebellion first happened in heaven. That's where pride first happened. It didn't happen in the Garden of Eden first. Sin happened in heaven, in the heavenly realm, with one of the archangels called Lucifer, the morning star, before his name was changed to Satan. So sin started in heaven. What? Are you serious? That's what it says. Started in heaven. This pride thing happened in heaven in Lucifer. Well, I tell you that to let you know that if it started in heaven with one of the archangels, you don't have immunity. You're in the running for pride and rebellion to happen in your house. You're up next. Does this make any sense? You're in the running. You're a prime candidate, if you're breathing today, for pride and rebellion to happen in your life. I have to pray against pride, a serious prayer. Pride is an issue for me. And I'm not talking about just looking decent. I'm talking about a pride, by a sinful pride. You got to be careful, sinful pride. I've told the story. I want to tell it again so I can tell you that I'm human just like you, because you know me. I am human. Jason and I, we were in Harbor Freight one time, and I was buying a drill press. A drill press. See, he remembers it, because I keep on it. Don't let pride get on you. We were buying a drill press, and it was on sale. And I had some coupons. Glory to God. And somebody gave me a gift card. Man, I had stuff. Do you hear me? Praise God. The Lord's blessing was on me because I had stuff. And I'm buying this drill press. And they ask you every time, I don't care if you buy a wire brush, and do you want the warranty? No, I don't want the warranty. She asked me, do you want the warranty? Look, I bought this thing for $400. It's on sale with all my discounts and all of my gift cards. It's like $400. And it was a $700 deal. And she said, you want the warranty? I said, nope, I got enough money to buy that again if I need to. Instantly, boom, right there in the line, pride hit me. I didn't mean for it. I didn't plan that speech. We walked out to the truck, and before we got to the truck, I had to repent to my brother. See, accountability. I said, I'm sorry about it. I was pride. Did I not tell you that? I said, pride crept in. I shouldn't have said that. Because it's only by God that I did have the money if I needed to. But the pride issue came right in. And I was aware. I've been aware of pride in my life for years. And it still crept in right there, just at a moment's time. So when you think you've conquered it, watch out. Pride will slip right in. So pride can be a sin. Because pride leads to rebellion. See, if I'd let that fester, all of a sudden, I don't need God for anything. I got a few dollars. God says, how do you know you got dollars? Because Deuteronomy 8:18 says it is God who gives you the power to get wealth. See, you can't even get wealth without God. Well, what about these heathens out there? Without God, they can't get wealth. Bill Gates won't have a dime without God. None of them will. Elon Musk be broke if it wasn't for God. Come on. Can't help it that he's not spending the way he needs to be spent for the Lord. That's not between me and him. That's between him and God. Come on, somebody. Pride. You got to watch it. So in Ezekiel 28:11, the Bible talks about Satan and the pride and the fall. Basically, you're going to find in two places, Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, and we'll look at both of those. In 28, verse 11, it says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, talking to Ezekiel, son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. He's got, what's the word I'm looking for? Credentials. Did you hear the credentials he's got? He was perfect. How many of you in here are perfect? That's what I thought. It says, you were the seal of perfection, verse 12, full of wisdom. How many of you got all wisdom? And perfect in beauty. Now, some of you may think you are there, but you don't have a mirror in your house, so it's okay. He's citing some credentials, if you will, of Satan. He says, you were in Eden, the garden of God, a perfect place, a utopia, if you will. You were there. We're talking about Lucifer, still talking about Lucifer right now, okay? Every precious stone was your covering. And he lists these stones of covering, the sardis and the topaz and the diamond, the beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbers and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. Watch that. He's letting Lucifer know, I created you. Even though you're perfect in your way and all of these things, and you're walking with me and you're in the Garden of Eden, you are in these places, I created you. How many of you know the Bible speaks that the creation is not greater than the Creator? And the moment you think you're greater than the Creator, you have a pride problem. You have a rebellion problem. This is going to be good. You were anointed cherubim who covers. Some of us think in the Christian world, we're anointed above everybody else. I'm anointed and can't go back. That's not what Scripture says. If we're looking at this passage of Scripture metaphorically, if this is an overlay of the Christians today, we have a problem. You can be anointed and have pride. It says you were anointed. You were the anointed cherubim who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. He spent time with God. Lucifer did. He spent time with God. How could pride creep in then? Metaphorically, if you spend time with God and Lucifer spent time with God, do you think that if pride crept in to Lucifer, do you think it'll creep into you or could? The answer is yes, if you were wondering. Sure it can. Pride. Watch it. Keep all eyes focused on pride. Why are you so big on pride? Well, it was the first sin that we ever read of in the Scriptures. You read of no other sin first other than pride. And closely hitched with it, yoked with it, is rebellion. Pride. Take note. Be aware. Because when pride comes in, rebellion is really, really close. Before the door shuts on pride, rebellion's already in with it. Verse 15, you were perfect in your ways from the day you were created. Watch this. Till iniquity was found in you. What? I ask myself some questions when I'm preparing messages, and I ask myself, well, who found the pride in Lucifer? It says it was found. Who found it? Well, God found it. Was he looking for it? Yes, he was. He's looking for the sin in me and you as well. He's looking for the sin of pride in our lives. You know why? Because he desires relationship with us, and he wants us to be close, but he knows that pride has a cousin, a close cousin, with called rebellion, and you put those two together, and most humans flee. They leave the presence of God. So God's looking for sin. Now, not God himself now, after New Testament, it's called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins, and when that conviction comes, you know what that is? That's like God saying, I'm feeling, I see that. Don't do that. It's like getting reprimanded by God himself because they're three in one. You tracking with me? God is searching for the pride and the rebellion. God's searching for sin in your life, but he's looking for that pride. He looked for it in the archangel. I don't know if you understand this, but the archangels, there was three of them, Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer, and God, the Holy Spirit, and the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. That really made up the government, if you will, of heaven. The inner circle of heavenly government. And in that heavenly government, the God of all universe is looking for sin. You're quiet. So who found the pride in Lucifer? It was God. How? He was searching for it. You understand that he created Lucifer not to fall. He created him perfect in his way. He created to be one of the archangels. But somewhere in there, Lucifer decided, I'll take pride and rebellion over relationship with God. How are you doing with this so far? I struggle with pride. We can get an ungodly pride that comes in, look at me, look at my title, look who I've got, look what I'm, who's in my corner, look at all, and we just start filling in the blank. And that's where pride creeps in. I'm above the law. I'm untouchable. No one can touch me. Well, that's pride. You prideful sinner. You ought to get to that under the blood of Jesus, because rebellion is right there. And the moment that prideful people don't want to come to Christ, they're in rebellion. When they don't want to address their pride problem, they're in rebellion right then. Oh, I don't have a pride problem. You're in rebellion against God. Now you got pride and rebellion happening. You went from one sin to two. If you're not careful, you'll have 3, 4, and 5 run along with it. And then you got a stronghold happening in your life that you can't get rid of, but you don't have a problem. You don't have a pride problem. You don't have a rebellion problem. I know what I'm doing, preacher. Well, it doesn't look like you know what you're doing from here. Most people that have a pride problem don't know that everybody else knows. Hello. We can see your big head coming for 6 miles. You got a pride problem. And when addressed, you get defensive. And now you got a rebellion problem. Well, preach, preacher. Thank you. So, does God really search? Can we find that in Scripture? Does God search your heart to see if there's sin in it? I got a scripture for you. There's several, but I got one just for sake of time. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, the latter part of the verse says this: For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent and thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. In other words, when you find that the Lord is dealing with you about pride and rebellion, you got one of two choices. You can run to God and seek him, and he'll help you with your pride issue, because you don't have a rebellion part yet. If you're seeking God, you're not rebelling from him. Can we agree with that? If you're seeking him, you can't be rebelling. Rebelling means to be pushed away, to walk away, okay? So if you got a pride problem and you're seeking God, you don't have a rebellion problem just yet. But scripture goes on to say this in the latter part of that. It says, if you seek me, he will be found by you. In other words, Christ will find you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. So if you walk away with rebellion, guess what? God says you can do your deal. Till you get ready to come back and repent of your pride and rebellion, you're on your own, buddy. Ooh. There is a rock right there in the name of Jesus that I got to pick up. I'm sorry. It's a pebble. Every time I walked over it, I shrugged my feet. That has nothing to do with the message. Could you hear it? Glory to God. It just wasn't me. Verse 16, Ezekiel 28, now down to verse 16. By the abundance, speaking, now going back to what Satan was, by the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within. And you sinned. What was he doing? He's doing just what humans do. He went around heaven trying to get the angels on his side. Sounds like a church to me. Sounds like something you want to do, and you feel like if you get a certain number of people on your side, then you can justify and make it okay. Sin is never okay. I don't care if a whole world agrees with you. I don't care if all your little circle, your family agrees with you that it's okay to do whatever you're doing. It doesn't make it okay. It just makes you feel better about doing sin. It says, you became filled with violence, or you became a traded. This word, if you do a study on it, it really means you talk to people. You done your due diligence to do the trading to get people with you. You know, a third of the angels fell with Satan, or with Lucifer, right? How do you think they fell? Hey, buddy. I've been noticing you know I'm the choir leader, you know, and I mean, it's been good, but, you know, I think we could do better. Because, you know, God, he don't want to just really turn us loose. And I think we could do better. And, you know, you're playing the guitar great. And I think if you excited with me, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to God. Right. And I'm going to talk to him about this thing. And now I'm not sure he's going to go along with it. But if he don't, you with me, right? Yeah, you come on, come on. No, you got to say yeah.
Okay.
Say yeah. This is a play. This is not all real.
Right.
And you with me, right?
Right.
Hey, amen. Hey, if you don't mind, you know, your best friend, won't you tell your best angel friend what we got going on? All just right. Kind of keep it between us two or three.
Okay.
We're going. Well, work. I'm gonna go talk to Angel Joe over here too. And hey, you with me? No.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not participating.
Hey, wait a minute. Two-thirds of the angels told him that. Two-thirds of the angels told him that. Because I promise you, Lucifer didn't leave anybody out. Hey, you got to say yes.
Nope.
We're playing.
Okay.
Right. You in? You got my back? You always follow me. Hey, come on, because you know he made me. He anointed me. You know I'm one of the three. I mean I'm one of the archangels, right? I mean I got to be close to God because he's let me in his circle. Come on, that's why you can't follow heathen preachers. Preachers don't preach the gospel. So you don't follow denominations that let queers and homosexuals and drag queens up here. Come on, somebody. Come on. So you get my message there to drift, how he got a third of the angels. You became filled with violence within and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. And I destroyed you, O covering cherubim, from the midst of the fiery stones. He's kicking him out of heavens. What's going on? Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty, because you thought you had something. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. You thought you were somebody when you were nobody. You thought you had something when you had nothing. You thought you were anointed when you weren't anointed. You thought you wanted to be the preacher and take over the preacher's spot, but you never went through the school to get your credentials. Look, we ain't having problems in this church, so don't think I'm preaching against somebody. Because I wonder who that was. You got pride. No, that's gossip. Says, I cast you out from the midst of the fire stones. Your heart was filled up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground and I laid you before the kings that they might gaze at you. In other words, if you're lifted up here, there's a scripture that talks about that pride comes before the fall. Right before that point, guess what? You're going to be laid low and everybody's going to be looking at you saying, what? I knew something. What's wrong with that cat? But you tried to cover it. You tried to walk through this thing on your own. There's no shame in coming to God and saying, I can't do this. Come to God and say, I cannot function without you. I've tried. Here's my issues. Everybody already knows. That's why nobody likes to come to the altar. What if they're going to find out? We already know you. Glory. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your trading, in other words, the gossip and the pride and the rebellion, how you tried to get a third of these angels to go with you, you were trading in this iniquity. That's all you were trading was sin. You were offering sin. You offered sin, and you offered sin, and you offered pride, and you offered rebellion, and I offered life, eternity, but you offered sin and pride and rebellion. That's what you offered. Without God, that's all you have to offer is sin. Just want you to know that. That's the only thing you got is sin without God. As a Christian church, as a believer in Christ, put an axe to the root of pride in your life. It'll take you down a road you don't want to go. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you, and I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw. And all who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you. You have become a whore and shall be no more forever. That's the fate of Satan, who was Lucifer. Now watch this, I got just a question. If pride and rebellion, this is really not a question, it's really a statement. If pride and rebellion can get Lucifer kicked out of heaven, it can certainly keep you from entering heaven. If God would tolerate it in the beginning, what makes you think you're so special that you'll be able to march in with it? You won't. You can't. It's impossible, because sin separates us from God. He's not going to let you close to him if you got sin in your life. Well, you know what pride really is? You, me. I put in my notes, I is pride. Pride starts here. My pride don't start here. My pride starts here. I'm the only one that can allow pride to get out of whack in my life. Amen. Because I'm the only one that can allow sin to get out of whack in my life. And my will is rebellion. When I choose not to take my problems to God. When I tell God, I've got this, I'll come to you if I need you next week or next month. And it turns into next year, and it turns into a decade, and it turns into 2 decades. And you're living with this thing called pride and rebellion in your life. And it's just gotten bigger and bigger and bigger, and you want to defy. You think, well, I've got away with it this long because this is how sin works. I've got away with it this long. I'll just keep on because, you know, I can do it because I've always done it. Oh, you might skirt around the law here. You might skirt around people around here. But I'm here to tell you that there's a reckoning day coming for you if you let pride rule your life. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. If I could get some music or pianist or whatever we're doing this morning, I would appreciate it. Isaiah 14, 12 says, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? He's still called Lucifer. He's still addressing him. He's Satan, though. Son of the morning. Morning star is another name, day star. Morning, how are you cut down to the ground? You who weakened the nations, verse 13. Now watch how pride comes in, watch. Listen for the I wills. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. What a bold, ignorant statement. Stupid. That ain't even me. That's just stupid. That a creation would tell the creator, I'm going to take my throne above yours. Scripture tells us that there's clay and there's a potter. And the clay doesn't turn around to the potter and say, I don't want to be a cup. I'd like to be a vase, or if you're sophisticated, a vase. I don't want to be that. See, the clay doesn't get the option to tell the creator what he wants to be created as. And that's what happens a lot of time with pride. We don't want to do what God says, so we rebel. We've got pride and we rebel, so guess what happens? We're in essence telling God, I don't want to be that. I want to be this, and I want to do it on my terms, and I want to sin as much as I want to, and I want to get away with it, and I want you to be okay with it. Well, you have a serious problem, sir, ma'am. Doesn't work that way. Keep lying to yourself. It's your privilege. Now I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farther sides of the north. And I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. And I, watch this, and I will be like the Most High. What arrogance. The response is, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook the kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? One of these days, as Christian believers, we're going to get to look at Satan and we're going to say, is that the guy? Is that him? Made so lowly, so much dominated by God himself. Is this him? I let that control me. I lost my family over that. I lost my career over that. I lost my business over that. I gave in to lust and pornography and alcohol and drugs over that. That. I gave it all up for that. What sin does. Promises you everything. Promises you a better tomorrow, and you get tomorrow, it's worse than yesterday. Well, I'm going to try it one more time. It's like going to the casino. You win once, and guess what? You think you're going to win again. Good luck. Sin's the same way. I'm going to do better tomorrow. I did really good today. I didn't have any prideful thoughts today. I probably don't need God. I got this figured out. I didn't have any lustful desires today. I didn't have any desire to do drugs and do alcohol and to watch porn. I didn't have any desire to lie today. I didn't have any envious and covetous in my life. Oh, I'm good. I don't need God. You need God more than you think. Matter of fact, you need him more than anything. Because I don't know of a person in this room that doesn't need God more than anything. In verse 17, I read it, I'll reread it. It says, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? Do you know that Satan, now Satan, not Lucifer, but Satan, puts you in prison to pride and rebellion and many other things? He puts you in prison And it's not only you, sir or ma'am, but it's those that are around you, that are connected with you, that love you and care for you. They seem to be also captivated or connected to that prison. They're not in prison with you if they're Christian, but they're connected to you. They hurt with you and they hurt for you, and they're trying to help you. But that prison that you've allowed for to come in with pride and rebellion, you can't turn it loose. And Satan's not opening the gate for you unless you repent. When you repent and you turn, repent means to turn, and you ask God to forgive you of your sins, the prison door, the prison gates are opened, and you can walk out boldly to the throne of grace. But until you make that choice and get serious about it, no mamby-pamby, lay me down to sleep kind of prayer, and change your style, your lifestyle, it must change. It's not part of my message, but I'm going to go here. If you're dealing with something and you've been dealing with it for a day, a week, a month, 10 years, I don't care. You come to the altar and you say, Lord, forgive me of, you name your deal. Lord, forgive me of my pride. Forgive me of my lust, my covetousness, my envy. And you get up and you go your way and you change nothing in the physical realm. You hadn't done anything, made a prayer, because nothing changed. You've got to start somewhere. God gives you free choice to make changes in your life. If God wanted you to be right, he'd said, bam, you're right, and you're never going to be wrong. He didn't do it in heaven when Lucifer was there. He's not going to do it on earth while we're here. And so you have to change some things. You show me somebody that's repentant, and I'll show you some changes in their physical life. I'll show you some changes that have happened in the physical realm. I'll show you some things they put in place not to go back down that road. I'll show you some people change. I'll show you some friend lists that's been deleted. I'll show you some new phone numbers. I'll show you some new servant in the church. I'll show you some of those things when people make a repent, because repent means to turn. And if you hadn't turned, you're still doing the same thing. You hadn't repented. You just mumbled some prayer because it's of the heart. Will you be perfect? Absolutely not. He's still working on me after 35 years. It's not about perfection. It's about a willing heart, willing to submit to the will of the Lord. It's about a willing heart saying, God, here I am. I'm broken and I'm all messed up and I'm jacked up in 9 kind of ways. And I've hurt a lot of people in my life, and I'm doing all this. But God, I'm here today, and I want to change. And I'm not just up here, and I'm not going to put out some fake tears. I'm not just going to come up here and blow some snot on somebody and say, boy, look at me. Look what I did. Can we get that on video? And can we show that out? Man, look at me. Baloney. You don't want to be out on Facebook anyway. People critique you over that stuff. I know. Amen. You still love me? Now, we talked about Old Testament. I want to give you a New Testament, and then I'm going to close. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. Luke chapter 12, verse 16. It's a parable. The Lord is speaking. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. Whoop, whoop. And he thought within himself, Did you know rebellion hadn't come yet? Pride. He thought within himself. This was his thought. What shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? The sin is not, oh, I've done well and I got to have room to store my crops. The sin is he thought within himself. Don't miss the picture. First started with a little pride. Woo! Look what I've done. I've done so well, I tell you what. I don't know what I'm going to do. Watch. So he said, watch this. You remember the I wills a while ago? Remember a while ago when I was talking about it in Isaiah, I will. He says in verse 18, so he said, I will do this. Oh, really? Are you tracking with me at all this morning? I will do. You won't do anything unless God says so. You won't do a thing unless God puts his approval on it for you to get up in the morning. You won't leave this house unless God says, I'll let you leave. The Bible says not to make a plan unless you're okay with God. I'm paraphrasing. If the Lord wills, my dad say, boys, we're going to do this when I was growing up. Boy, we're going to do this. He'd give us this list. I said, good Lord, we won't get that done in a year. And he said, if the Lord wills. If the Lord wills, we'll get up and try it. And if the Lord wills, we'll accomplish it. But he never said in his heart, this is what we're going to do. I don't care who says what. Is that you this morning? Is that you this morning? I feel the Holy Ghost in the house. I feel the Holy Ghost. So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and I will build greater. Watch this. And there I will store all of my crops and my goods. I was a farmer all my life. The only good time in farming is when you got a check that covers everything you spent. I don't care if they're in the bins or if they're at the elevator. You need a check. So you can say, okay, woo, we done that. This guy here is so blessed. I'm going to do this. I'm going to pull these down, and I'm going to do this because I'm going to store my crops in my new barns. He is full of pride. Do you see it now? Do you see the pride in this parable? It's all about him. Watch this. This is a, man, you're talking about a prideful, arrogant statement. He says next in verse 19, and I will say to my soul, that very existence, that mind, will, and emotion, that thing that gives you life is what this soul talks about. That thing, I'm going to say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease and eat and drink and be merry. What he's saying here is you got plenty. You do what you want to. Don't matter about the church. Don't matter what the preacher says. Don't matter what the Bible says. Don't matter what your wife or your husband says. It don't matter about what people say. You go do what you want to do. Boy, can I get a witness that that's what the world's telling us to do now? You take care of you, and don't you worry about anybody else. It's all about you. Oh, you want to be LGBTQ plus 127-29? You go do that, because it's about you. Soul, take ease. You want to ruin your relationship? You want to throw away your family? You want to throw away your business? You want to throw away all this? You want to throw away your witness at church? What's your prerogative? May I tell you, sir, ma'am, it's a dumb, dumb decision. Because here's the outcome. By God. May I tell you that God, I need to drink water. May I tell you that God always, listen to me, you can underline this, it's not debatable. God always has the last word. You may think you're winning, but you're losing. God's not pulling the ace out of his sleeve. Here's the thing about God. He lays it right out on the table in front of you because he don't want to trick you into anything. He lets you see through the preaching of God's word where you're at. He wants you to know that I've got the last word, son or daughter. My will be done. I'm going to win no matter what. No matter what you think, I'm winning. I've always won and I'm going to win. It may look like Christians that we're losing to the queer movement. It may look like that we're losing to the demons in hell, but we're not. We're winning. Praise the Lord. That was an amen moment. You're on the winning team, church. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be in which you have provided? I'll stop. Got one more verse, but I'm going to stop right there. You know, the Bible instructs us not to call anybody a fool. And here Scripture calls the man that is full of pride and rebellion, you're a fool. You're a fool to think that you will win. You're a fool to think you can do this without me. Keep doing what you're doing, lose everything you got. See, he lost everything. He said, fool, let's read it again. But God said, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Wait a minute, now a while ago he was talking about to his soul like he owned it. He said, I will say to my soul, soul. And God says right here, tonight your soul, you don't even control it. You don't even have any authority over your own soul, even though it's inside you. I have it. Tonight I'll require your soul and it'll obey me because I'm God. It's going to be required of you. And not only when I take that, you don't have anything else. What good is it if you amass all this stuff and you don't have a soul? You're not here. That's the point. While you are here, while you are living, let God have your soul. Let God have your will. Let God have everything you are, even in the midst of your stuff. Because if he requires your soul, you don't have any stuff anyway. Man, I hope you're getting this. Let me put it this way. I hope that I'm delivering it in a way where you can pick it up. Because sometimes I don't deliver very well. I'm way down here and you're up here. And my daddy told me, don't sun sheep and starve to death, stand looking at the hay. You know what that means? Well, number one, you ought to be reading the word for yourself. Come on. And number two, boy, you better do a better job trying to get my word across. Verse 21. And this is like, he's saying this now. He gave us this whole story about the farmer and storing up his goods. And then he says, now I want to let you know that it's just not about farming. It's about anyone. Watch this. So is he who lays up treasures for himself, watch, and is not rich toward God. Is he saying that you can't have stuff? That's not what it said at all. It said that if you're not rich toward God, you don't have anything anyway. So what's the point? That's what he's saying. What is the point? If you lay up all this stuff and you don't have riches toward me, guess what? It's irrelevant. But if you have treasures and you're rich toward God in the spiritual sense, he can take those things that you have and bless others and increase you because he can trust you with what he's given you. And some of you can't even trust with your own self. Come on, somebody. Oh, he's trying. But he's trying to trust you. He's trying to trust me. He's trying to give me free will. I want to trust you. I want to. I want to trust you with everything, son. I want to trust you, Leslie, with that. I want to trust you. And Stephen, matter of fact, I'm trusting you somebody giving you a baby. It's hard for you to have that baby, wasn't it? Been a while? Yeah. Been a while, hasn't it? Prayed for it too, didn't you? Can I share a little, just a snippet of your story? She came to try out for the worship team. It's a process you go through. We asked her, is there anything we can pray with you about right back here in the, around the table? She said, yeah, we've been trying to have a baby. A week or so later, how long was it, 2 or 3 weeks, a month? I don't know, whatever. She said, I'm pregnant. We prayed for her back here. See, God has a plan, and he's trusting you with that plan that's inside of you. Whoo! Feel the Holy Ghost. You can be anointed, child. He's trusting you with a plan. He's trusting you, sir, ma'am, with a plan. God's given you a plan. God's given you a family. God's given you this and this and treasures on earth because a family is a great treasure. Come on. I'll die for mine. But without God, it's nothing. I've preached too long. I'm going to close. I'm going to close with these two statements. Mike, I went too long, didn't I? I'm sorry, buddy. He's not even mad at me up there. If Mike's mad at you, something's bad wrong. I'll leave with these two statements that I said earlier in the message. Pride happens when you think you don't need anyone or any help. And rebellion happens when you try to do it without God. Let me read it again. Pride happens when you think you don't need anyone or any help. And rebellion happens when you try it to do it without God. In the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, thou fool. Every saint of God praying. Right now, I want you to start praying. These altars are open. These altars are always open. Even when I preach, you can come to the altar. Heavenly Father, to the best of my natural talents and my God-given anointings, I have preached your word today. What I believe you want this congregation to hear. Well, I know it's for me, Lord. I struggle with it. But you didn't have me prepare a message today, Holy Spirit, just for me. You could have done that at home when I was studying for it. If you're in this building, I don't care what area it is in your life, it probably started with pride. The Holy Spirit and myself would love for you to be in this altar so we can pray with you. To condemn, but to set you free by the power of the Holy Ghost, so that you can be released as a prisoner from the hole that pride and rebellion has had in your life. If you've been running from God, if you've been rebelling against God, if you're saying you don't need God, I'm speaking to you. If that's you, I need some ladies up here in the front praying right here. If that's you, I need you in the altar. I just believe that today is a day of repentance, a turning from the old life to the new one. I believe today is that day. Please don't come because you have an emotional experience in your seat. Come because there's a convicting power of the Holy Ghost that's moving upon you right now to come, and he's wooing you back. He wants you. He desires you. The Holy Spirit desires you to change and repent. If that's you, please come. these altars. Make your way to these altars. There'll be people here to pray with you and encourage you and lift you up. We'll put you up before the throne of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Come on, saints, I need you praying. I don't believe that the altar service is over yet. I don't believe that he's done yet. I need some men right over here, guys. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, saints, continue to pray. Pray for the Holy Spirit to have his way in people's lives today. We give you free reign in this place, Holy Spirit. We give you free reign, Holy Spirit. God, for your wonderful and mighty works. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you. that is when you all means is all, and that's all it means. It don't mean anything else. Just everything you are. Amen. I hope the Lord has spoken to you today. Can I love on you in a different way? I pray that the Lord's spoken to you and he loves you on you so much that he just can fix the snot out of you if you didn't get right with the Lord today. I'm not going to preach this message against what I'm saying, probably not for a couple, 3 or 4 years. So it's up to the Holy Spirit anyway, right? If enticing words could have got you, you could have heard that on the radio this morning and wouldn't have to get up and come to church. Amen. Pray for those around you. You know, if you prayed for them and not gossiped about them, if you prayed for them and not told people about their problems, how much different would your life be? How much different would their life be? It'd be a 180 degrees. Amen. I love you. Hallelujah. Let me bless you before we go. Father, we always ask that your face shine upon us, but today I believe it has. But we do pray that your face would shine upon us. We'd find favor with God and with man. That job promotions, raises, increase, and prosperity would come our way. And that wonderful peace. I said that wonderful peace from God Almighty would blanket every rooftop. That when we lay down this afternoon or this evening, some of the sweetest sleep and rest would come to our spiritual souls and our physical bodies. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen.